Okay. Intro in
3, 2, 1.
Fuck. Oh, wait, I shouldn't cuss in the beginning. Oh, God, I'm not even joking. This ain't a bit. I literally had to
intro in my mind. 3, 2, 1. No. All right, guys. Judging by that beautiful laughter, this is the intro to a new episode of Burnt Out Coffee. I'm your co-host, Oscar Fernandez at Oscar Farts. The incontrollable ball of joy over here is Enrique Rosado at Ryder Rosado.
I legitimately had an intro planned in my head, and then I was like, time to execute it, and then I'm like, what the fuck was I doing?
And like all of Enrique's plans, smooth as silk.
Ah, baby, it's so smooth, so smooth. How have you... God, this is an indicator of how the episode's gonna go.
Yep. Hey, the bright side, it can't get any worse.
It can't. You know that's true. Like, it's like, if you start at the bottom, it's not good, man. Just try to climb. Just try to get out of the bottom. Try to just claw your way up. Betray who you have to betray.
There was a chance, but now you've made this into a muddy hole, and we're just slipping down and slowly burying ourselves.
The hole is getting deeper and deeper. There's no end to the hole, Oscar. That's how it works. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's just
a deeper hole. More hole?
Yeah, just more
hole. Have you been looking into my OnlyFans account?
Oh, yes. I think it's time to announce Oscar's OnlyFans account called The Deeper Hole. Because his tagline is, when you think you're full, you're not as full as him. There's always a deeper hole.
Always a deeper hole.
And right then and there, everyone clicked off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hello.
Yeah. All right. So
hello,
you stuck
one
around.
Person who is brave.
Hello, you one deviant. Brave person.
You're like, no. I heard OnlyFans, and I'm willing to stay. I'm willing to hear you out. Even though this is an audio podcast, you decided to judge how we look by our voice. Bad.
Very
our voices
bad.
Are very deceiving.
Yeah.
Like, Oscar, would you say I sound better than I look, or I look better than I sound? You're kind of taking a little too long to kind of figure this out.
I'm thinking about it. I think you look better than you sound.
Yay. I actually like how I sound, so yay. Yay. Because I remember, this is a little tidbit before we get into our main segment, like we always do. We love giving you a little tidbit before we go in. Just a little sweet palate. Ooh. So we go in. But the first time I called Oscar when I was young, like this is like when we first started becoming friends. I call him and I'm like a like preteen around this time because it's like the first time I had like my phone.
12, 13, go, something like that.
Yeah, I go like, hey, what's up? And he goes, hey, what's up? I'm like, yeah, like you said, just to call when we want to hang out. And he was like, yeah, I did. yeah. And I was like, yeah, so when you want me to cross the street or come over? What the fuck? Wait, who's this? I went, it's Enrique. He went, fuck you. I went, what? He's like, over the phone, you sound like a hot woman. And I was this little boy, and I was just like, how do I take this? Do I let this affect my self-esteem for the rest of my life, or do I take it on the chin? And I went, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, so I had the exact opposite. I was told that I sound like a man on the phone.
You sound burly and strong.
Yeah, like the doctor I used to work for, she was like, yeah, I remember talking over the phone, and I imagined this, like, very handsome, 6-foot muscular man, and then you came into the office, and I was like, oh.
She was like, that's close enough. Close enough. Hey, Oscar, guess what that is?
What?
A segue. Into today's episode, it was all an elaborate plan to just get us to our topic.
Of course it was.
Yep, we planned this out. We have a script in front of us. No, we don't. I don't know what I'm doing.
I have no idea.
I think I'm just trying to come up with stuff on the quiff, and it's fine. Like,
what is a quiff?
So close enough is today's topic.
No. You're not getting out of this.
No, I am. Watch me slippery yield into our today's segment. I already said the name. People want to know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I escaped. So we're trying something again. Oh my God, a second new thing? But is it really new? Not really.
Yeah, because it's off the quiff.
Eat a dick. Eat a quiff's dick. I don't know anymore. My God, it's so hot. Like, I don't know about y'all how it is in the rest of the world, but it's been getting hot as hell here. And it's just wild.
It's funny you say that, because we had a cold front today.
Really?
Yeah, it was like high 50s today.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, but thankfully it'll be back to 80 tomorrow.
Oh, thankfully. Yeah, sure. Sure. I forgot in Texas, it's like, if it hits below 70, you're basically just like, it's winter. It's done.
That's why I like Texas. I don't like the winter.
I love the fall. But back to our subject. So today we're tackling something anew. We're adding this into the rotation. That way everyone who's listening to it, it's not the exact same thing, but it's all like in the same kind of family of styles. So hopefully y'all listening kind of like enjoy a little palate cleanse every time we rotate the styles. So this one, instead of does it hold up, which is still in rotation, people, do not worry, it'll be back. What we're doing is tackling more of modern contemporary work, because with the purpose of does it hold up is understanding, does this thing still hold up to today's standard of media production, story, everything? The other version of how do they compare is an understanding of a remake to an older one, to a more contemporary work. And this one is the final one of the Triforce, just the contemporary work. We're going to like kind of look at and analyze more modern stuff with the same viewpoint and styles of the last two, but only focusing on the new, kind of going, well, now that we established in the other two what we believe is a good contemporary work, because we're using it as a basis of comparing the other two, now we're trying to establish in this, do modern stuff hit with the contemporary visions that we currently have of what is good and bad? And when we say good and bad, it's not necessarily like, oh, this is a good piece of work, this is a bad piece of work. Just more of, does it hit our own personal views of understanding, does it hit these merits? I know it's like an overcomplicated way of saying it, but it's understanding that I feel helps like y'all understand what we're trying to do. It's not necessarily defined in the zeitgeist, what is good and what is bad? This is garbage, this is great. We're trying to analyze what was done well and what could have been done differently compared to today's contemporary viewpoints of what makes a good story, what makes a good piece of film, animation, comic, whatever. That was a long way of saying it.
Yeah, incredibly.
Thank you. And today we're talking about the technically HBO Max original Close Enough, the animated program. And
oh, I thought you were talking about Watchmen.
I really hope that's a joke.
Yeah, like I watched the entire freaking season, dude.
So I haven't seen it yet. I'm kind of ashamed to say that because I've been trying to watch it. I know, I've had HBO and I haven't seen it yet. So, well, I'll talk about Close Enough. You just guess.
Okay, that's fine.
I really hope this is a fucking joke. Secretly, I can hear Close Enough in the background of you just going, I'm listening. Just quickly trying to like digest every episode.
No, I watched it all, and then I watched it all again.
Oh, damn. Good, because we're going to talk about it. But like always, we want to give a little like behind the scenes facts on the production and stuff. And I feel like the most important fact about this show actually is an interesting piece of trivia. And it comes from a very personal place of mine. So as a lot of people already know, J.G. Quintel, who was the creator of Regular Show, created this show. Close Enough.
What?
The reason that I feel like this is important is because when Regular Show first came out, I became a massive fan of the show and of J.G. Quintel, to the point I had a Mordecai and the Rigby shirt when I was in high school. Would wear it like crazy because I love the show.
Do you see yourself as more of a Mordecai or a Rigby?
I guess more of a Rigby, honestly.
I was going to say that too.
Yeah, because like a Mordecai, I feel... I wish I was more of a Mordecai, but not, because spoilers for regular show. I feel at the end, Rigby is actually shown to have more of an understanding of his life more than Mordecai, because Mordecai's struggle throughout the whole thing is like he's jumping from relationship to relationship because he was a college dropout. Because he, and the reason that matters is because like he, his problem was always never truly finding a footing in himself and then trying to go for it. Whereas I feel like Rigby's problem was he knew what he wanted and everything. It's just he never worked for it. And like, I feel like I'm more of a Rigby also because of the erratic nature and kind of like always like energetic, where Mordecai felt like the more mature version of it, even though they both were immature. I love the show.
Yeah.
Oh, someone told me I did a really good, I'm not going to do it just because my voice hurts, but I'll maybe bring it one day. I do a really good muscle man, and it made me sad to hear. It made me really sad to hear, because I was like, not sad as in like, I love muscle man as a character, but like out of all characters, I really would have loved to have done Skips or Pops. But muscle man, even though I love the fucking voice, that's all to say. So I've been a big, obviously you can tell I'm a massive regular show fan.
Hey, you're a meshy.
Is it wrong? I know exactly what you're talking about. I hate that.
He does the voice for both. It took me years to find that out.
You're a meshy.
It's like that guy only does one voice. We should know everything he does.
But he does it so well. And his scream when he's like muscle man, like the pig scream. Beautiful. So this is all to say, Jay, when I was a fan of his, I actually found a short of his, and I think I showed you it, Oscar, years ago, called 2 in the AM/PM.
That is honestly not ringing a bell. Go on.
It is the short he did, like, in college that... Sorry, I'm just going to clear my throat. I'm sorry, because I know I'm sounding weird. Oh, God, I hope I remember to cut that out, because if not, that's going to sound weird. Whew. Okay, so basically.
And that, my friends, is a, what'd you call it, a quilf?
Quiff.
A quiff? That's a patented Enrique quiff.
Thank you. So 2 in the AM PM is a short he did in college, which actually is about two graveyard shift workers at a gas station. No, at a convenience store, I think like at a 7-Eleven is easier to describe. And they take mushrooms and kind of go on a trip. The thing about it is they actually have two characters from regular show, Benson and Mordecai, in the short, voiced by the same people. Because it's before the show, but he had those ideas of those characters then. This is to say the short may have had those characters in it, but it's closer, akin to Close Enough, because it was actually adult. So the reason that matters is when Close Enough was originally meant to be produced and released, it was meant to be released on TBS in 2017.
And because wow, that long ago?
Yeah, because it wasn't supposed to fit, Cartoon Network's feel, because it was more adult, as like we'll go into. But I remember it was, and I think it was supposed to be like late 2017 and maybe like earlier 2018. The reason I say that is because I remember even posting on like my Instagram when I first got an Instagram was like, oh my God, I'm so excited for this show. And then I was one of the people who waited so long for this show for it to come out. And the reason it didn't come out is because AT&T regionally purchased Time Warner at the time and then held it on their shelves for a bit. And then came the streaming service HBO Max, the perfect place to release it to them, because they're like, we need an animated program. It is an adult animated program, and it can be one of the push to get this service running, because fans who've been waiting it for years, like me, or people who generally like regular show, or generally just like adult animated cartoons, have a place in it here, because they have been trying to carve out a space for them in the animation department, even though I feel the animation department and HBO Max's service is lacking, because I hope they keep the Ghibli for as long as they can. They need to add more from Crunchyroll for it to be like have a strong
anime
department.
They don't have a lot of anime.
They don't. It's really sad. And they don't have enough adult animation. The only other adult animations come from Adult Swim and Cartoon Network.
Harley Quinn.
Even then. Oh, is it on HBO Max now?
Yeah, Harley Quinn is doing really well for them.
What? I didn't know it was on HBO Max.
Yeah, bro.
No joke. I've been wanting to see that. Okay, so I'll watch Harley Quinn now.
I want to watch it too, but then I'm like, I can't watch this with Adler in the room. And then when it gets to that time, I forget.
Hey, now we know what to do for our next one, Oscar. We're quoting it now. For our next, not next episode, but the next time we do a modern one, we're doing Harley Quinn. There we go.
Yeah. I've only heard good things. I'm excited.
Same here. So with this show, but this is to say, I feel like their animation department for adult is still lacking, because with just Harley Quinn, they don't have enough Cartoon Network stuff to bring up more. They're thinking of already canceling Infinity Train, even though it's doing so well for them in the sense of critical acclaim and fan reaction. That's a conversation for another day, because this is about close enough. We'll get to Infinity Train one day, because I love that show to death.
I haven't seen this.
Oh, it's fucking amazing. Like, legitimately, I love it.
I don't know. But it looks like heartfelt stuff, and I'm not down for that.
You'll cry. You're gonna cry. The thing about this show, basically, all I'm trying to lead into with like this behind the scenes information is, this show had a longer production time. I don't know what the future of the show is going to be, but this has the taste of regular show, which was in a very semi-adult, like I would call it late teen kind of aimed show.
Was weird because it was childish and silly in nature, but a lot of the jokes and references was geared towards adults because it was a lot of 80s themed things. And even our generation, like I know from pop culture references, but like even our generation, we were too young for that almost.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, like if you like the themes they hit on were also very adult. Like who wants to hear about a relationship? Because again, spoiler, the one he was going for the longest, he actually finds out they don't go well together and they break up and they don't get back together. Like him and the Redbird.
Forget her name, Redbird.
Redbird. I just know, like, if I said the name, I don't know if you would know. But either way, they don't get together, and he has other girlfriends after. It's like him growing into an adult, which is funny because I feel like that's a lead-in if you watch that show to Close Enough, which is an adult-oriented, like, this is aimed for adults down to the problems you face in the show.
I have a fan theory.
Ooh, hit me.
I have a fan theory. I believe Close Enough is a continuation of regular show, and the animation changes from animals and inanimate objects like a gumball machine to humans because he finally matures and accepts who he is, and he leaves that sort of immature imagination a little bit behind.
You know what? I'm not going to argue against that or anything. I like that theory. Let's keep it there. Let's keep it like that. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
Even though his name's not Mordecai anymore.
What? No, that's different. So, going into this, since it is a contemporary piece of work and everything, instead of like, oh, how does it hold up to our standards? I guess the way we should tackle it is similar in the sense of, but we start with opposite. What do you think? Basically, give me your first thoughts on this.
On the show?
Yeah, on the show in general. Your bare thoughts. I'll try to gear it hitting the points, but let's just go right into it.
Okay, so that being said, I knew nothing about the show, anticipation or anything like that. I wasn't as big of a fan as Enrique, but Enrique told me like, hey, there's a show on called Close Enough, and I'm like, yeah, it's cool, I'll probably check it out sometime. Totally forgot about it for months. And then I was scrolling through HBO. I'm like, oh, I recognize that art style. Oh, Enrique told me about this. And then a couple months went by. And then finally I was like, you know what? Let me watch this. I don't have any, you know, other cartoons I'm watching right now. And so like judging by the art style, judging by the trailer I saw, I was just like, okay, so I'm expecting, like a weird mix of, no, Seinfeld is the wrong reference, but sort of like that, close family / non-family, like, you know, interaction kind of drama that we get from a lot of like, you know, like 90s sitcoms and things like that, mixed with the silliness that is regular show.
Yeah.
And so I got that, but it wasn't as disappointing as I was trying to make it sound. Like, it was like, okay, I'm watching this, and right now it's kind of serious, you know, the characters, you know, it's very based in reality. And I was like, okay, cool, until it wasn't. And then things kind of went crazy and silly and out of, you know, control. And I was like, oh, we're going there, and this is kind of normal for this world. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so I'm glad they kind of kept this kind of sort of feel from regular show. And it was just, it was genuinely funny. It was being a young parent, sort of, I was able to click with these characters.
Yeah, I wanted to see how you feel about that, because it's like, I was like, Oscar is in a very similar situation down to the age of the child.
Yeah, so like, I'm feeling it. Like, I can relate to the characters because, you know, I'm 30, I have a kid, kids around the same age, so they're kind of act similar. Mm-hmm. I don't live with a divorced couple. But
I like how you had to clarify that. I don't,
because I live in California. I can afford a home on my own.
Not all of us could do that, Oscar, you bastard.
It's called Texas, baby. Land of the free. So
the land ain't free in Texas. I used to live there.
It's just affordable. I mean, you lived here.
Depending on what part of Texas you're in.
You afforded a place in Austin. You were fine. You didn't have a roommate.
Yeah, technically I did.
I mean, technically. Ari is not a roommate. She is...
It's because of us two we were able to afford a place in Austin.
I understand that, but y'all were dating it already at the time. It's not like y'all like were roommates and then y'all started dating. Y'all were dating before y'all moved in together.
You don't know. It could have been like, let's be roommates first before I can see if we can work out as a relationship.
I think that's still going on.
Years of being roommates. We'll see how it works.
I think Eric's still deciding.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a catch.
Yeah, no, you're pretty good. I like you. Yeah, so, like, you know, I could relate to it. And it was just, honestly, it's just genuinely funny. Like, I it has some serious moments, like, you know, some family moments. And I'm just like, that's the parts I relate to. But then it breaks up the seriousness with just genuinely good comedy.
Mm-hmm. And there's something you said that I want to touch on, because keeping it with the viewpoint of what we're trying to say, this show is... I'm trying to think of the way to express this simply and as... Like, I'm saying this positively. It's formulaic. And it grabbed the formula that was being constantly tested out in a regular show and was really refined in that show and then brought to this one, and then I feel like they keep getting it better. Because you said it yourself. Something goes down, a regular problem is introduced, a very real human intimate problem.
Yeah, like, for an like example, I think the first episode, it's a real problem I had. It's a last minute school project for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this very important school project is due tomorrow and we haven't started on it. So the parents have to cram at night to, you know, help their kids succeed. And I've done that. I've done literally a school project for this kiddo the morning of, like, we got to get to school, but Papa's still working on your project and you need to help me.
I find that weird that, like, parents have to be the ones who work on it. I don't, that's,
well, when they're that young, they need a lot of hands-on stuff. So, like, yeah. I let him, like color and write on and stuff like that, but anything that needed to be, like, cut out and things like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that makes that. Sense.
Yeah.
But
I wish it did together, because it would have been done a lot quicker.
So, going with that, like, there are some of the problems they tackle, and so, like, that are very human and real are, how the main character, Josh, like, created a game, and he feels like he gave up on his passion, and should he continue it, look at his life now. Another one is how,
you just gotta throw me out like that? Okay.
But no, another character is Emily, how she feels like, she feels, the reason she constantly goes, like, house looking, I forgot what is it called? Open house, like, go to open houses, because it lets her pretend she's in a position in her life where she can afford a home by themselves and are able to give the life that they always wanted to give to their kid. And these are very, like, real and human problems, just like in regular show. But, like, here, it's, like, hitting to an age group that I feel like really will resonate with this, and it resonates well because they're not unbelievable problems. They're very believable, human. Like, you have thought this at least once in your life, one of these problems, guaranteed. Multiple, maybe. And then they find a way to make it fucking weird and extreme, but makes sense. For, like, the first episode, you're saying they... how's that realistic? I was going to say, like, they technically hire these orphan children to work on them, and they're like, oh, look, they're children.
We're not children.
We're old. Yep, they turn out to be old people. And the reason that, like, kind of fits with the theme, it's... they thought they wanted... they couldn't get their kid to work on the project, so they're having these other kids work on projects. But it turns out kids can't work on the projects. Only adults can. So it still goes into it. And even at the end, they get credit for help letting their kid work on it by themselves on purpose, when really the kid just did it by themselves because she just had to. And I find that very well. So, like, the reason this is, I'm bringing this up is because this is an example of shows are formulaic. Every show has its own formula, especially shows that are slice of life that are meant to last long. If they're meant to be a storytelling-based show, like, for example, Avatar, or something more adult like, Oscar hit me with one, Cowboy Bebop even, like, they have their own sense of a formula, but they're really based on just trying to tell the story. And this even goes for, like, live-action anime shows that are, like, for example, Watchmen. I may not have seen it, but I know for sure, like, it tells one story. But shows like this that are meant to be kind of like slice of life continuous, they need to have a strong formula that can be repeated over and over and over without feeling old. And I think that's what this show does well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a good sort of thing that like Venture Bros.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, because Venture Bros was, like, one of those first ones that, like, okay, we're not longer episodic. Like, we have a formula, but now there's, like, a sort of a sequential order to things. We have
ever-evolving story. Yeah. No, yeah. I actually had a question for you that, so I watched this with Ari, the entire show, because she was like, I guess I'll give it a shot. You always talked about good about it. She ended up loving it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something she said that did bother her. And it's something I went, huh, I have my own opinion on that. And I want your opinion before I go into it, because I think it's a good one. And she does not like shows that are weird for weirdness sake. Like, there is no point in the weird. It is just weird. For an example, when we were younger, like, I was still in high school, but, like, I couldn't watch Uncle Grandpa because it was weirdness for weirdness sake. So what I wanted to ask you is, do you think Close Enough was weird for weirdness sake?
No, because shows like Uncle Grandpa, it's people who are, I don't want to say inexperienced, because I'm sure there's a lot of experienced folks on there, but it's a lack of understanding of the comedy. And you see this with a lot of comedians as well. It's like a weird balance you have to do. You have to have some sort of grounding. You have to set that sort of understanding first before you can get weird. If you were just what was that show in the 90s? Tom Green. Mm-hmm. He was just shock value. You know, he was just, what is the silliest, weirdest thing I can think of, blah, blah, blah. And there was no context to it. It was just wildness. And that's why his career was very short-lived. I mean, it's true. It's true. It was just like, how can I keep outdoing myself? Eventually you can't. You get stuck. Mm-hmm. So what this show does well is there's a grounding. Here's the theme of it. And now we get weird in the theme itself. So like the Logan's Run episode, I was like, I'm one of the few people on Earth that have seen Logan's Run, which is an old sci-fi film. And it matches up with the episode. The whole episode is about just getting old and what comes with that. Is it not just maturity, but, like, you know, when you are an adult and you have to work and all that stuff, you don't get to party and do stuff like you used to because you get tired easier. Your body aches more. You know, I feel it now, sadly. And
like how they were just like chilling on the couch watching shitty like TV and they're just like ice cream.
Yeah, and you enjoy it. Like, I enjoy sitting down and watching a mind-numbing show and just having some bad snacks. You know, it's bad for you with my significant other and just enjoying that. And then, you know, being able to talk and things like that rather than being in a crowded club, not being able to hear and interact with each other and just sit there bumping and grinding till I'm, like, sweating. I'm drunk and I'm hot and I'm like, you know, like...
Am I old? I want to do that now and I'm in my 20s.
Exactly. So like it's coming to that realization where you can't do the things you used to because mm-hmm. not only it doesn't mean you're incapable, it's like you just don't enjoy it anymore. Mm-hmm. And it fell into the theme of Logan's Run, because in Logan's Run, the way they do it's like post-apocalyptic, everyone lives underground, and mm-hmm. the way they maintain resources is through population control. So once you get mm-hmm. to a certain age, you are sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sort of the wackiness they brought into the episode. So it fit the theme of the episode. So to me, you know, it's silly, but it wasn't something that was wild. It was still part of the theme of the episode and the yeah. moral of the story. So that's the difference. It's
no.
mm-hmm. the sort of grounding of understanding, not just crazy for crazy's sake, like Aerie mm-hmm. doesn't like.
Yeah, and no, I agree, because like when we spoke about it, we ended up agreeing, like she agreed with me and everything, going like there's still a lot of weird for weirdness sake, but she's like, but I see how it connects. So like that's why she was able to watch the show and actually enjoy it, because she was like, this was interesting. Though like the weird joke for weirdness sake that came out of nowhere that made me laugh was the Weird Al Yankovic, how he came out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is how I get ideas for my music, just sacrificing to an ancient forest god. I was like, this is dope, but
it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it's beautiful. The honestly, like, I'm gonna say right now, I'm not a fan, and it amazes me to this day how big his fan base is. So
I'm part of it. Yeah, I'm part of it.
I know you are. So is Jordan and her kids. Like they love the guy, but I'm mm-hmm. just like, it's fun little satire, but. I don't think very highly of it, and I'm not that entertained by him, so like it just amazes me. But I did enjoy that little part.
I love the dude. But now this I want to say as a disclaimer, I guess is the right word, because I already established my biasism of I'm enjoying this show because I've been a fan of the creator for so long. One of the reasons I mentioned that in the beginning is for that sake. So you know I'm not coming in here going, oh, this is amazing. I understand that I have a biasism in this production, like in this, like not production. I wasn't part of it, but I'm saying like in us talking about it, me going, oh, this is great. I understand. I'm a fan of it. But this is also a disclaimer in the sense of I do write, and some of the stuff, like the majority of the stuff I write are comedies, but are comedies like close enough, like comedies in the sense of technically they have jokes and have like crazy weirdness, but I like to go like they're more drama, kind of like how I see Close Enough. It may be a comedy, there's actually a lot of drama in this. And I say that going, the reason I'm mentioning all this is because when I write stuff, it is to a similar mentality of this show. That's why I feel like I can talk about it a little more, not because I'm like I'm smarter, it's just more of I've been trying to write like this. The idea of how can you bring in a contemporary, very realistic problem and not just have it as a backdrop to it, where like some I'm trying to think of some properties do, like I guess like an example would be how like the 80s have it, where there'd be like there's a moral lesson, but it's not the reason something's going on, it just happens to be connected.
I think like, they just kind of like shove it in there.
Yeah, kind of like that. Whereas like what I feel like this show does is it makes it, like you said, the Logan's Run episode is, it makes it what is going on.
Yeah, it enhances it.
Exactly. And that's one thing I want people to like. The reason I feel this show is amazing and why I feel like people may enjoy it a lot is because they interweave the story within the comedy. The jokes don't exist for joke's sake only. They exist because they fuel what's going on. Like going to the first episode, I thought it was the stupidest thing. The whole like shopping sequence when he gets a bird that looks like him and he falls for it. I thought it was funny, but it makes sense because it shows he's not an adult, kind of. He is an adult, but he has very kid-like tendencies still.
Yeah, like it was
interweaving. Yeah, of course. But I still found that joke fucking hilarious. I can't even, like, what was his name? Like, little Josh?
Yeah.
Or something like that? That bird was hilarious. Like, I don't know. Like, one thing I guess I respect out of this show is how well done the characters are done and the comedy is done. And it doesn't take away from the story. That's why I mentioned the weird for the weird. I feel like, ironically, it does not distract from the show. It actually enhances it, which as every good comedy should do.
You know what's a good example?
Hit me.
Power Rangers. Rangers was a show that it didn't matter the episode. Every single episode is the exact same, and the first few seasons of Pokemon. So it's just literally like, okay, we start, we're teenagers, we're doing some nonsense. Oh no, Angel Grove is being attacked. We're Power Rangers, fight, we defeat it. Oh no, make my monster grow. Megazord, Power Sword, and it's over. And so it's the exact same freaking episode every single time, but somehow they throw in some weird moral lesson just for the sake of it. Like, we gotta, like, teach the kids something.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's a good example of kind of doing it poorly. Like, the episode and the actions aren't enhancing the theme of the episode. This exact same stuff is going to happen every single time in the exact same way, but we're just going to give you, like, something on the side.
Yeah, definitely.
We're not there for that. We're there for the Power Sword. All right, cool.
Can I give you a...
yeah.
I want to, like, this is going to be a little side trip. I'm sorry. I just have to say it. I think it's funny.
Let's go.
But before we do, we should do a episode where we look at the first three episodes of the original Power Rangers and then look at the newest iteration.
Don't. It's horrible. I've done it. It's still not good.
I love Power Rangers.
Don't get me started. I love Power Rangers too. I was obsessed. I wore the Red Ranger outfit every single day under my clothes if I had to go outside. And if it was dirty and my mom had to wash it, I just walked around the house in my underwear until it was washed, and then I put that on. And Kimberly was my first love.
It's everyone's first love. That girl captured every kid's heart.
All right. She was my first love. Tommy was kind of my first gay love. And
he was everyone's first gay love.
And I'm mad. He was at American Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed
it.
I was out of town. I was out of town.
You messed up. I saw it and I was like, that would have been a great... I was shocked. I was waiting for you to call me that day to go, dude, I saw him.
And like, it's okay because I've seen him with you at a convention before.
Oh yeah, we did. I forgot. We were just like, hey, that's dope.
That's dope. And we were like, is it worth the money? You're like, no. We kept walking.
We're broke. We can't afford your signature,
I was like, huh, Green Ranger, Ron Perlman. Yeah, Ron Perlman.
I remember, and I got Ron Perlman for free. But the thing is, I was going to say is, I didn't know for the longest Power Rangers. Louise, this is like I'm in my 20s. Louise told me we were watching an episode together, just reminiscing. And we just saw an episode on TV. We were like, oh, man. Louise was like, hey, did you know this was based off a Japanese product called Super Sentai? I went, oh, no, that's dope. We should watch it. He's like, well, technically, you kind of are, because all the action scenes are actually the Japanese, like, action scenes. They just only film when they're out of the suits, and they dub over their talking. I was like, no, they don't. That's stupid. He went, no, it's true. I'll prove it. I went, prove it. He presses pause to go pull out a video. But when he pauses it and looks at the screen, he just starts die laughing. I went, what's so fucking funny? He went, look behind the Yellow Ranger, and it's a sign in Japanese. Pure as day. And I just started laughing so hard because I was like, oh my God, God wanted me to say, shut the fuck up. He was like, no, it's Japanese. Watch. When he pauses it, it's just like the beautiful karma moment of the sign is Japanese, Enrique. You should know this.
Dude,
and it's a sign you could only catch if you pause it at the right time, because it was like in the middle of a backflip.
Yeah, the thing is, like, there are scenes where the American actors do wear the costumes, Mm-hmm. And you could tell in the original Mighty Morph Power Rangers is because the Black Ranger, the American one, he's missing a finger.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so in the fight scenes where the guy has 10 fingers, that's Japanese. And then the instances where he's flipping and, you know, he's talking and stuff where he has 9 fingers, that's the American. And so this happened for years because for us, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was the first one. Mm-hmm. And Japan's been doing it for over 10 years before that.
Yeah, wasn't it like season 5 in the old one? In the Japanese version was our first one?
Honestly, I think it was past season 5. I think it was older than that. Damn. And because they have like numbers and like playing card symbols and all sorts of different stuff.
They have everything. I know they have Lupin the Third, like Cops and Robbers version.
Yeah, and they had like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is actually a mix. So I think like I don't know if it's the Green Ranger or the White Ranger is in actually an entirely different like Power Ranger show.
Oh, he came in from another one.
Yeah, yeah, and we just kind of recycled the outfit and did our own thing, stuff like that. Because a lot of the stories are our own, but a lot of the fight scenes and the monsters, that's all the Japanese stuff that we're just recycling.
Yeah, yeah, so, like, I remember reading that. They said, like, they had to keep the monsters and how they die and stuff, mm-hmm. but the story itself is shaped by us.
For American audiences, because there's a few, especially later on, that is kind of more adult. And mm-hmm. you're sitting there like, okay, this is going to fly in America. And so, like, I've seen a few of the Japanese one, and they're pretty fun. But, like, I've seen almost all the American ones. I haven't... Beast Morphers is the newest one. Mm-hmm. And it's weird, to say the least, because it's one of those. There's a few of them where it's, like, 3 Power Rangers instead of mm-hmm. the traditional, like, 5.
Yeah, like Power Ranger Ninja.
Storm. Yeah, and then they eventually get a, you know, the fourth guy. Oh, he's a samurai, and and this one I they probably introduced the fourth one already, but I haven't been watching it. But it was just like it's okay, and like I like it only because like there's been a lot more guest appearances. So like Asa St. James, mm-hmm. the Red Ranger, he made a guest appearance in this one. Tommy is always making guest appearances. He was actually in Dino Thunder. He was the Black Ranger.
Oh, man. Yes, yes, I knew that one because I saw Dino.
Yes, so that was like one of the last ones where I like watched it all the way through because I was way too old for Power Rangers. And I was just like, okay. But
the newest one is going to be called Power Rangers Crystal Force. We should probably jump back to close enough after you're done saying what you're going to say.
Well, I mean, Power Rangers is like, it's like, it hasn't changed the formula, but it works, you know?
Yes, continuously.
And it works for a specific age group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it hasn't like gone away. So it doesn't age well. Is the short version of this long ass rant that we just did.
Yeah, because what we're trying to get at is so I guess to kind of like put it in a position where, not that we're wrapping up, but like it kind of like accumulates our point into a simple segment. It's saying, I think this is a great understanding. Like, this show is, I'm not going to hide my biases, but still, I believe, is amazing. This show is fantastic. Like, if I had to only recommend 3 shows on HBO Max, this is 100% one of the shows I would tell people to go to. Because this one is fantastic. My only complaint to show, like, I do have criticisms with it, maybe it was because it was going to TBS, or actually, no. It's because it hit HBO Max. I actually have one problem with it. I don't like how the episodes are laid out on the program, where one episode is actually 2 15-minute episodes. The reason I have a problem with that is I think they did that because it was going to TBS, and TBS didn't really do that, like 15-minute episodes. But also because they have a clear, once one episode ends, a clear like separator between them. Like they show the Cartoon Network like, I don't know what to call it other than cartoon kind of moment. You know what I mean?
Oh, you mean like the logo? Trademark?
Yeah, they show the logo. They show the logo, but then it's the characters inside the logo doing something.
Yeah, it's just like the thing they always done. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's for the end of the episode. But they do it in the middle to separate them. And they even have, I think, 2 openings. That I can't remember on top of my head. But it makes me go like...
I don't remember either.
It makes me go like, why... If you're putting it on this platform that is a streaming service, just separate them.
Bro, it's just less work. It's just less work. It came this way, just package it, put it that way. Because even the first few episodes, you can tell it was for TV because they have like the little blocks for commercials.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, because you have to, like, yeah, make it for our, like, they have a three-act structure, so, like, they could have the commercial breaks and everything. But, like, it makes me go, like, I understand why that still exists, but, I mean, the separation of the episodes, I think they could have done it. And the reason, like, is, I know it's nitpicky, but the reason it bothered me is because not only was it a little misleading on how many episodes there were, it also, in my opinion, was kind of hindering it a little bit, because it makes me go, like, okay, of course I can just exit out the episode and press resume when I come back. But for people who, like, the way streaming is structured, you're structured by an episode-to-episode basis. I feel like if you have it more spread out and view, like, easier to view, people who watch for streaming sakes only, like they left traditional TV, they can structure their watch time around it, will give it a better chance to succeed. It's just these little hints of, this may not matter, but you don't know, these little small details can hurt a show in the long run because viewer habits have been changing and establishing. For an example, like, I'll give the best example. So on Cat Trails, like the webcomic I created and write for, I don't know if you noticed the change on it, Oscar. It used to be I released it on when I released it on Webtoon, a page every single time. Like, every time a page came out, twice a week, I would release a page. But I noticed the numbers weren't hitting as well, even though the reception was positive.
Mm-hmm.
So what I ended up doing is I then changed to once a week, two pages, to three pages maybe. We'll see. And it hit different. It started getting a little, it started growing more. And then I went back and reshaped all the other episodes to fit now each one. Doesn't even say chapter one, page one through three, chapter two, page two. It says like a title of what the story arc is of the chapter. So I renamed it from chapter one, page one through three to trial, the trial, part one, the trial, part two. And it still has multiple pages within. And to the point after the most recent part comes out, by the time this episode comes out, the last part of this style will be like this. It's going to flip to a more traditional Webtoon style because these little tweaks help the thing grow in its environment. Hmm. It is, I had to realize, like, Webtoon in itself, the ecosystem, of course there are examples of ones that do what I'm saying, like the opposite of what I'm saying, like stuck to my original way, that far succeed. Like, they do numbers far better than you. I'm like, yeah, those are outliers. Some of them may have gotten lucky, and that's not a jab at them. That's saying they might have gotten lucky and gained a fan base that is more accepting of that style and kept to them. That's amazing. And then some of them already came in with a pre-established fan base, but 9 out of 10 times, the most successful ones are the ones that fit to the ecosystem. Yep. And this is to say, Close Enough's episode like layout is not fitting to the streaming ecosystem. Maybe HBO Max can try to cut themselves a different way, but the ecosystem of it all is separated in a way and expect that even if shows like the new The Boys come out weekly, this may come out all at once or weekly. Assume more than likely people will come back and binge this all at once. So present it in a way where they can understand it easier and accordingly schedule their binge. Because if you do it kind of oddly, a small little hiccup could affect the longevity of the project in itself. I know that may seem nitpicky, but just me understanding that, I feel like kind of like experiencing that helps you understand, like, this doesn't hinder the art. It's you just presenting the art in a way to have the best chance of succeeding.
And I say this every time, but I don't see that as important, but I realize how important it can be because, and I use this example every single time, that's how Firefly failed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I understand it's important. It's like me, if I'm a fan of it, I'm a fan of it. And, like, sometimes the artist will go on hiatus for a while or the writer mm-hmm. will go on hiatus, and I will be there when they get back. I'm still waiting for them to continue Talon. I'm still waiting for them to finish fucking S.H.I.E.L.D., and they never will. They never, ever will, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm waiting there. I'm like, all right, any day now. And I'm going to get a confirmation like, hey, we're back. We're going to finish Talon. Hey, we're going to finish S.H.I.E.L.D. after 85 years. And they never are. And like, because I forgot how many years it was in between the first few chapters of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then the last few. And it's still not done.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And yeah. So, I mean, like, I understand how important it is. From my personal standpoint, it's not important, but I realize that it does affect things greatly.
And I feel, and this is now me kind of speaking personally, but I feel it's extremely important to understand that, not just for like, oh, if you want your things to succeed, you need to present it in a way that it fits well. For example, like this podcast, I don't know how it fits into, because I'm still trying to learn, into the ecosystem of podcasts themselves. But I find it kind of fun to learn this stuff as like a writer and stuff, because it's an old saying. It is an old as shit saying that people say constantly, but God, it is so true. Like, it is one of the most truest things you can understand, especially when it comes to science in life, when it comes to art in life. And it's this saying I truly believe. You cannot break the rules if you do not know what the rules are. You not knowing what the rules are of the system does not mean you're like this avant-garde crazy player who does whatever they want. That doesn't make you special. That means you're ignoring very important things, and it's hurting you. It's hurting you so bad.
Wow, way to point out my personal securities.
No, I'm not trying to. I'm sorry. All I'm trying to say is, but when you understand and know the rules, when you break them, you're breaking them for a reason. And that's what pushes people into the direction of greatness. Because those who break the rules don't break the rules because they're lazy. They break the rules because it provides them something that will elevate their art. For example, some of the people I mentioned, let's say like on Webtoon, that post one page at a time, may be doing it for a very specific reason. They may do it because, well, you know what's one example that breaks this completely? The joke of the day slice of life comics that are meant to be four panels, that's it. They don't shoot out three jokes in one episode, like one update. They'll release three times a week because they're breaking the rule of long updates because they're like, this won't work that way. No one will enjoy it this way. We enjoy it when it's a joke. We laugh at it. Oh, that's funny. And then we leave. Because that's what it's meant to be. But you'll come back because you want another one. That's breaking the rules in the system. And that's why I think Close Enough, bringing it back to that, with their comedy, is that's why when they stick with their formula, when they break the formula every once in a while, they're breaking it with a reason to elevate the episode. That's why I say they should break up the episode list into a regular one, because I don't feel like they're combining the episodes because they're like, this show works better back to back. I think they were forced to, because that's not a decision they can make. They don't, like, the writers, the animators, the directors don't have a choice to go, I want this separated or connected. That's the choice of HBO Max, who's distributing it. And I don't think they're doing it in the right way. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry for that rant.
It's all right.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just my mentality is understand the rules. Make sure you master the rules. So that way when you break them, you're breaking them with a purpose, and that'll get you elevated. That was one sentence I described that long conversation. That was my Power Rangers rant, Oscar.
I like how you did that twice.
All in one episode. You see, people, our formula is to not do it. That's a lie. Our formula is to do that once, but we did it twice. That means maybe we're doing it to elevate ourselves, or maybe we just got really distracted.
I'm going to go with the first one.
Yeah, we're good. And with that, I think final thoughts on Close Enough, Oscar. I want to hear your final thoughts.
I mean, like, it's definitely worth a watch. I don't know when the next season is going to come out or anything like that. It is one of those shows that could go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, none of the characters need to really age or anything like that. The themes of it are, you know, what we can all relate to in our real lives. So the amount of episodes is the amount of human experience. So like it could literally just go on forever, like freaking South Park and Simpsons. But I do find it refreshing and enjoying compared to other things I've been watching lately, just because like a lot of things lately, especially post Adventure Time, have been just wild and crazy for just being wild and crazy. You know, they're going the Tom Green method and there's no real substance to them. And so this is something that came out where it's like, oh, okay, they're actually trying.
Yeah, like definitely I definitely agree. And yeah, that was our feelings on Close Enough. And this was our first time talking about a contemporary product in full with the structure of our other one. So what do we call this segment, Oscar?
Hey, yo, there's a brand new show out and it's freaking good.
I was thinking of the words today sucks. No, does today suck? But I think I like yours better.
Does today suck? The answer is yes. both on a personal and worldwide view.
Yes, Oscar. I 100% agree. Like, I agree. I don't. Let's go back to positivity.
No, and that's why I escaped to these fantasy realms.
And with that beautiful dark sentence. That was a stutter.
That was a quiff.
That was a quiff. Ah, fuck you. I'm never going to hear that. I'm never going to live that down, am I?
No, Pre Malone, you're not.
Ah, fuck you. Jess. Fuck. I'm trying to think of something clever, but I've been quiffing all day, and it's for a reason.
Wow. Wow.
Well, with that, people, that was an episode of Burnt Out Coffee. Slurpity slurp. Thank you. I am Enrique Rosado at Writer Rosado, and with me was my fantastic brown man who does not live with a divorced couple.
Not yet. Times are getting rough.
Oscar Fernandez at Oscar Farts. Of course, this is Burnt Out Coffee. Make sure you like the video and subscribe. And if you're listening to an audio platform, make sure to follow us there and like it. And if not, hey, if you're listening to this YouTube, Facebook, or if you're on the audio platform, you want to get a way to answer this question to us, of course, you can just comment below or comment on our Instagram at Burnout Creative or at our own personal ones. Today's like little episode question. The two questions are, one, what are your thoughts on Close Enough? Honestly, like, how do you feel about it and everything? And what do you think is a good question, Oscar?
What other shows do we feel are truly relatable?
Dope ass question. What shows do we feel are truly relatable? Let us know down below, or like I said,
and specifically animated shows.
Ooh, yes. What animated shows are relatable to you? Let us know. We would love to hear them. And yeah, Burnt Out Coffee. Of course, if you want to go a little more, you can find us on Patreon at Burnt Out Creative. You'll get a whole bunch of stuff like early access to our other audio podcast, which is out now, Internet 24. Ooh. You can find it all on all audio platforms or on YouTube and Facebook. Or if you're on our Burnt Out Creative Patreon, you get it 2 weeks in advance. It is an anthology series that mixes... what does it mix, Oscar, would you say? I say sci-fi fantasy anthology series that combines weird and strange stories.
I don't know. I haven't heard any of it.
It's like Close Enough. It's weird, strange stories that try to have a theme within it. And is really well done. The first episode out is now, which is called Welcome to the Internet. It's an intro into the series and an explanation of what is going on. So if you want to know more about it, just check it out. And of course, I have a webcomic called Cat Trails, which I mentioned. You can find that on Webtoon Tapas. It's, I guess the right way of describing it is like if Owl House meets Scott Pilgrim or... like another Howl's Moving Castle maybe meets Scott Pilgrim. I feel like it's a really weird and good example. What fantasy, because it's like fantasy and sci-fi, would you say Mick is like, because I know Scott Pilgrim is a good example. What sci-fi fantasy would you say hits it well?
I would say the style of Scott Pilgrim meets the world of D&D.
Dope. Yep, there we go. That's it. Scott Pilgrim meets D&D. That's Cat Trails for you people. And, of course, Oscar, you got anything you want to, like, push out there?
No.
If you're in the Waco area, go...
oh, yeah!
Yeah, there you go.
Well, for the month of September, folks, if you are in the Central Texas Waco area, Skeleton Curiosities, amazing curiosity shop, cool horror, goth, punk theme, shirts, oddities, taxidermy, crystals, you name it. I'll have every month they showcase an artist. It's this month it happens to be myself. So if you're in the area, go buy some big old original prints, or excuse me, paintings, or I've got tons of prints there.
Yeah, check it out over there. Oscar has amazing art, and the people there are amazing.
Yep.
Of course. And I think with that, that is everything, wouldn't you say?
I believe so.
And just like always, let's pull out. Oscar's going to hit us with our most famous catchphrase. What is it, Oscar?
Do you know who else likes this podcast?
Who?
My mom!
My mom! Wait, I can do a better one. Wait.
Hey. My mom!
No, that is horrible. What is up with my throat?
You'll redeem yourself. Don't worry. And with that, that was another episode of Burnt Out Coffee.
Burnt Out Coffee.
All right, you're meshy. Till next time.
You were meshy. Oh, shit.